Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You've got to hear this. Now, this is President Lauder, the president of the World Jewish Congress in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles speaking. And this is so exciting, and hopefully we'll be able to get it all in. But he's talking about, you know, and this is huge. You have to understand this, because we've stood with Israel, and we stood with Israel, and we stood with Israel. The church has, and since, you know, recently, and, you know, last 50 years or so, 48, 50, 60 years. And with that, in the context of it, now we're starting to hear for the first time, we're hearing a Jewish leader, president of the World Jewish Congress in Jerusalem, make the statement that says, you stood with us, we'll stand with you. And not only that, we'll stand with you in the persecuted church taking place. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 23, 37 to 39. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, where is he standing? Where's President Lauder standing? He's standing in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned the ones sent to you, how often I longed to gather you. Now, what's happened now since 60 years ago? Israel has been gathered, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been gathered to the land of Jerusalem. I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were under her wings, but you weren't willing. Look, your house is laid to you desolate. Well, that's how it was, not anymore. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say what President Lauder just said of the World Christian Congress. You're about to hear it. Until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which would be Christians. Listen up.
Visiting members of Parliament, members of Congress, my dear Christian friends, as president of the World Jewish Congress, the one organization that represents all of the Jewish communities around the world, I cannot think of a more important place to be than here right now, than in this room with you. A very smart rabbi once told me that Jews are good at many things, but unfortunately, we are not always good at saying thank you. So let me begin. So let me begin tonight with a very direct and heartfelt thank you. Thank you for your steadfast support of Israel and the Jewish people. Thank you for your commitment to decency and the values we all cherish. Thank you for standing up for what is right and not what is wrong. Thank you for standing on the right side of history. Thank you for standing with God. And thank you for standing with us, the Jewish people. And lastly, perhaps most important, thank you for standing here in Jerusalem, the eternal undivided capital of the State of Israel.
This is so important because of what just happened in our last election. During the platform, they're saying that we want to remove Jerusalem as the capital. Yeah. We want to remove Jerusalem as the capital. And he's saying, understand, a few months ago, you know, we had people booing what he just said in America, uh-huh. but we stood fast. This Methodist minister stood fast in America. And he stood up and says, we want to bring this back on the platform. We want Jerusalem. And that's what he's just that's saying. Right. Uh-huh. He's just saying the undivided capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Listen up.
20 years ago, I stood on the walls of this city in front of 450,000 people, the largest gathering ever held in this country. Some of you were there. I remember seeing David Parsons. He was there with his signs. It meant a great deal to me. And as I said at that time, I'm just one Jew who declares this holy city, Jerusalem, as the one true capital of the Jewish people. And today, I stand here as the president of the World Jewish Congress. I'm still only one Jew, but this one Jew, on behalf of all of us, says thank you. You've come here in the middle of the Jewish High Holy Days, and specifically on Sukkot, the Feast of the Tabernacles, when the Bible mandates us to return to Jerusalem. This is a very important time to be here. As you know, Sukkot is also known as the harvest of the tabernacles. As it says in Leviticus 23, you shall live in huts for 7 days. I, the Lord, want to remind you that these were the huts that the children of Israel lived in during their journey through the wilderness, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in huts when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. During the days of Sukkot, we leave the secure confines of our permanent homes, and we dwell in the sukkah, a thatched hut. This must be a temporary dwelling, and it should be flimsy and frail. And yet, it is during this festival that we must rejoice, because when the walls come down, we then have the capacity to see beyond them. We have a chance to reflect on the blessings that God gave each of us. We can appreciate the most fundamental parts of our lives, and we recognize the intrinsic goodness of our fellow man. The lessons of the Sukkah is that everything we have is a gift from God. We must be grateful, and we must never fear, and we must never take anything for granted. So you see, it is a festival that teaches us and reminds us also to say thank you. We also convene here on a very special evening and a very special time. Our world has gone through strange upheavals in the past, when people lost their way, when children ignored the teaching of their parents, when the lessons of the Torah, our shared Bible, were forgotten. How can you possibly explain all the anger and hate heaped on Israel throughout the world? How can you explain the hundreds of resolutions passed in the UN against Israel, and not a word about anyone else? How can you explain the long silence about Syria? How can you explain the even longer silence about Iran, when its centrifuges keep spinning, even as they promise to erase Israel from the pages of time? Sadly, we know all too well what happens when the world is silent. We know what can happen. You know what can happen. We learned this lesson the hard way. I pledge to you tonight in this sacred city, our sacred city, that I will not be silent. I will not be silent when Christian churches are burned by fundamentalists throughout the Middle East. I will not be silent. I will not be silent when Christian Arabs are murdered only because they are Christian, as they were last week in Syria. I will not be silent when 450,000 Christians are driven out of Syria just this past year. I will not be silent when the Christian population of Lebanon has been terrorized. I will not be silent when Christian holy sites are desecrated in Arab lands. I will not be silent, and we will not be silent. Fifty years ago, the population of Bethlehem was 70% Christian. Today, it is 15% Christian. We can't be silent anymore, and we have to also see what can be done, because we know what happens when the world looks the other way. We will not be silent. Let this be a start of speaking out. This, because this is our home, and also this is your home, and nothing will ever change that.
This is so important. I mean, you think about it. We'll hear the rest of this in today's program. But you're listening to President Lauder with the president of the Jewish World Congress, World Jewish Congress, and in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles, saying publicly, and you'll hear even more in our next program, but Psalms 122 says this, or Psalm 62:1 says this, For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a blazing torch. I mean, you think how powerful that is. That is hugely powerful. And he tells us in Matthew, when Jesus is talking to Jerusalem, he says, you won't even see me again. In Matthew 23:37-39, he says, you won't even see me again. Do you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? He says, in my name you will drive out demons. In my name you will. The church is the one that goes in the name of Jesus. So the same Jesus that spoke there in Jerusalem today is coming back to Jerusalem, and we're going there in his name. And the president of the Jewish World Congress is standing up and saying, you stood with us, we're going to stand with you. This is a powerful sign of the soon coming salvation of the Jews. Beginning to talk about what's taking place in the previous program, you got to catch it, with President Lauder, president of the World Jewish Congress, and how he is openly saying we're standing with Israel. And we're standing with the church the way that we're not going to be silent anymore. We're going to hear more about that in just a moment. But this is huge, because this is Isaiah 62:1, when we say we won't be silent about Israel and God won't be silent. We'll understand this, that now we're starting to hear the Jewish people in Jerusalem give the counter response to Jesus' words in Matthew, when Jesus said in Jerusalem, I long to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you weren't willing. You will not see me again till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mm. The Lord. And that's the church. He said, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go in my name. So when we go, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, it's the church. Mm. We're not going in your name or my name or someone else's name. We're going in Jesus' name. That's why it's not wrong for you to put Jesus as Lord and talk openly, because it's all about him. Hmm. As Tommy Tenney says, right?
That's right.
And but now you have the Jewish people, definitely the World Jewish Congress, the president before at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, talking about, we've seen you stand with us.
Yeah.
We've seen you stand on the wall. And that's what that word in Isaiah 62 talks about, that I put a watchman on the wall to be able to watch over Jerusalem. And it's so cool. I mean, this was what this means. I mean, this is remember, no, all these folks that tell you the Lord's coming back tomorrow or not coming back for a year or 50 years or whatever, they don't know. Jesus don't even know.
Right.
But this is one thing he did say. He says, you will not see me again till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And think about that. And now they're saying, blessed is the church who comes in the name of the Lord. He even says, you're going to hear him talk about that, our God, the land of our God and your Lord.
Wow.
That's how he talks about it. And so he's specifically just nailing this prophecy. And it's so cool, too, because he was, I think he was a former congressman in America right here,
okay.
A senator, Lauder. But the he's the one that all the leaders of the world go to be able to talk about, you know, perspective, because this are all the Jews' leadership. Jews have gotten together and got this Jewish World Jewish Congress to be able to handle world matters in regards to the Jews. And now that you're looking at, they're saying, hey, we're going to stand up for the church and for Christians and the Jews.
Wow.
The persecuted. And he was talking about the Middle East. And this is huge. I mean, you're listening to VFN Radio on VFN TV. You're seeing this on Christian Television Network. And some of the things that we stand for, and the reason why we're here because the Lord said, do it. That's why we're here. Secondly, is that when God looks for someone to stand in the gap so he does not have to destroy the land. That's what he says. And we have a lot of naysayers that are out there talking about, you know, they're trying to do in the land, you know, Israel and America, amongst other land. And he just looks for someone to stand in the gap, which means you stand up for what he says. And he says, those who stand with Israel and bless Israel, I'll bless. And so VFN Radio and VFN TV, we stand up for, and our partners and our underwriters and our sponsors that you see on Christian Television Network, that you hear on VFN Radio, that you can see and visit and find their places, how to get to them, and go tell them, because a lot of you guys are going there and to their places of business and doing business with them, but let them know it's because they stood, you heard about them or saw them on VFN TV, Christian Television Network, on VFN Radio, you heard about them. You can find out more at VFNTV.com and click on, you know, see, visit our sponsors. And you might want to even become one. But understand, we stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. Mm-hmm. And this is so important because everything outside of standing up for Israel is irrelevant, temporary. But understand that this is the eternal city. This is where Jesus' feet is going to come back. And when he said what he said, and you're going to hear more about in this next program here, that he's just saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
He says some specific things. He says, "When I will not remain silent when Christian churches are being burned."
Uh-huh.
He says, "I will not remain silent when Christian Arabs are murdered and driven out of Syria." This is like powerful statements.
Yeah, and they're murdered a Christian right there in Syria.
Yeah.
Right there is what he's talking about. And remember we talked about that on the radio where, and the TV where we're not even responding to their cries in Syria. They're saying, please don't bomb Damascus because they're going to persecute the church here.
Yeah. 450,000 Christians being, you know, pushed out of Syria.
Right, right.
And he's saying, I will not remain silent when all this happens. I'm going to stand with you. It's huge.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah, it is. It's very powerful. And this is just halfway through his speech and what he's talking about. And you also heard in the first program, you could see it on the VFN TV, on the torch at VFNTV.com. is the live nativity scene taking place in Washington, D.C. That's exciting to see. And the nativity scene, that's a manger scene where God took on the form of man, where he was already formed in Mary's womb. But understand, that's why he was birthed in this manger, because there was no room for him at the mall. At the end. I mean, think about it. God was born, he humbled in a manger, and look what we've made it about, Christmas about. We have to really get back to the reason. You know, what this is all about. It's about the birth of our Savior. Who your daddy is. Who your daddy is. And that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, you know, who is your dad? And you're listening to your dad, all right. And this is what Jesus said.
That's what he said.
He said, your father, you're listening to your father, all right. Your father's Satan. And so they say, well, that's kind of tough to hear that. It's like, well, that's what Jesus said. He said, because you're listening, he's a liar, and he's the father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning, and when he lies, he speaks his native language. Have you seen those folks that's just kind of like there? It's like, what stands out with them is like the truth. You know, it's like, I think they just told the truth. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's like 98% not true, and it's like, wait a minute.
Pause right there.
But it's that 98% that kind of throws you off. Like, we better hold on. We got to make sure this is true. Right?
Right.
Don't do it. No, don't do it.
Right.
Yeah, right. But here we are right now. And you think about that, what God says in his word, and what Jesus was saying, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's speaking to Jews in Jerusalem. Jesus is a Jew. He's speaking to Jews. He's speaking to them in Jerusalem. And in the context of that, now we're seeing at the Feast of Tabernacles, of all the things that to know, because we are the tabernacle of God. We are the temple of God. Know ye not that you're the tabernacle of God. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. That the fact that when we come in the name of the Lord, we're showing up because Christ in us is the hope of glory. And here they are, the President Lauder with the World Jewish Congress standing up before the nations is there in this particular meeting in Jerusalem and saying, listen, you stood with us. We're going to stand with you. We're not going to sit back while they persecute the Christians. Mm-hmm. And we're not just not going to be silent. This is a huge thing. This is the first, based on reports to CBN News, by the way, that they said this is the first time this has ever been done publicly like this.
Wow.
Well,
the first time. Listen up.
We will walk down the path together. We will share each other's joys, and we will share each other's trials. We will support each other, and we will protect each other. Why? Because we all come from the same family. We all believe in the same book. We all believe in God and the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. We all cherish our children, and we all want to live in peace with our neighbors. You know, it has always struck me as ironic. When the Jews rose up out of the horror of the Holocaust and returned to this land after 2,000 years, the only people who were not surprised by this miracle were all of you. The reason for that is because not only do you believe in the Bible, you actually read it.
That's so powerful. We're going to continue on with this, but understand why he's saying that the Christians were not surprised, because the Bible is all about prophecy,
mm-hmm.
which is telling the history in advance. Some of it's come to pass. Some of it hasn't come to pass yet. Much of it has, and it's rapidly being fulfilled. And this is what this Jewish man is saying. The president of the World Jewish Congress is saying in Jerusalem, and he's saying, you know, we're going to stand with you. He said, we come from the same family. We believe in the same book. Mm. We have the same God, the same Ten Commandments. This is beautiful.
Wow.
This is so beautiful when you hear this man saying, and he just said earlier, you heard in the earlier program, is that when Bethlehem was given over, it was 70% Christians. But now that it was given over to Islam, basically, mm-hmm. and he didn't say that, but that's where it's given over to Muslims.
I've been there. It's
yeah. It went from 70% Christians to 15% Christians. They ran them out of Bethlehem and persecuted them. And he's saying, this is not going to happen. We understand. You stand with us. We're going to stand with you. The same family, same. We believe in the same book, same God, same Ten Commandments, same golden rule. We cherish our children's. I mean, I think this is huge.
Mm-hmm.
This is so huge. And there's even more. You listen to the president of World Jewish Congress speaking from Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles, President Lauder. Listen up.
You know that in Genesis 15, God promised the land to the descendants of Abraham. You know that in Exodus 23, God promised Moses that he will lead the nation of Israel to Jerusalem. Not Paris, not New York, Jerusalem. He will lead them here. You know that in Numbers 34, we even learn the specifics of the boundaries of the land. We have to wonder, how many times does God have to tell us something before we listen? You want to see miracles? They're all around you. It's here that you walk in the footsteps of our patriarchs and your Lord. Look at this country that was created out of nothing but hard work, sacrifice, prayer, and the belief in God. These are the tenets that we all share: hard work, sacrifice, prayer, and the belief in God. Isn't it amazing what these four values can create? That is what binds us and brings us together. This past June, when President Shimon Peres turned 90, he wrote, and I quote, "When I was a child, Israel was a legend, more than a reality. She emerged from that dream, and today she has surpassed that dream. Our work is not yet complete. We came to the promised land, and now we must make it a land of promises." President Peres is right. Our work is never complete. After 2,000 years, the Jews have come home. And now we stand together tonight in our ancient homeland and our eternal undivided capital. Together with our Christian brothers and sisters, together we hope and pray for a better tomorrow. Let us continue to work together to achieve what is great in mankind. The World Jewish Congress will always stand with International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. And will always stand with all the sponsoring Christian groups here today. You have never fallen sway to false prophets. Not only will we stand with you, we are proud to stand with you. I am proud to stand with you. And as I said at the beginning, thank you for standing with us. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for your continued support. I pray for all of you. May we go forward here together, arm in arm, one family under God, and continue our work with strength and determination. You have my solemn commitment to work with all the Jewish communities around the world to help you, to support you as you supported us. And as I always say, please be with us and we'll be with you. God bless each and every one of you. Chag Sameach.
So powerful. Wow. That is so powerful. They're saying, listen, not only will we stand here, but we'll stand around the world. This is the World Jewish Congress. The Jews are saying, we will stand with Christians. Christians have stand with us. You're looking at a fulfillment of huge prophecy. Because they represent a congress of Jews from around the world,
right?
Not just even in Jerusalem. And it's like, wow, right before our eyes, you know, we've been praying, others have been praying, and, you know, and Christians United for Israel, you know, Pastor John Hagee's been pressing, you know, we will not be silent, mm-hmm. we will stand. And he really was a forerunner and just aggressive,
yes,
standing for Israel, and paid a huge price for that. But despite what we saw take place in North Carolina, in America there, and we want to hear this, and we're going to talk about how this got counteracted this with the increase of Zionism in the world, which means, you know, for Israel. But this is the mayor of Mayor Antonio, the mayor of L.A., in North Carolina, when they were deciding their platform, what their platform was going to be, when they removed Jerusalem from the capital. And what President Lauder is saying to the World Jewish Congress is like, this is the undivided capital of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, Jerusalem is.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing there. And this is what was done by Mayor Antonio, the mayor of L.A., and the platform they tried to have, and thank God for the Methodist minister trying to bring, because they removed Jerusalem from the platform.
first time in I don't know
ever,
how long.
Yeah, because we were the ones signed the bill for them to become the UN charter for them to become that. And so, right. And here it was the first time, and they pulled Jerusalem out while we had guns. And but listen up, I want you to hear Mayor Antonio and how it's different from what you just heard take place in Jerusalem.
Recognizes the delegate from Ohio, the chair of the platform drafting committee, former governor Ted Strickland.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules to permit an amendment to the platform adopted by this convention last night.
Governor Strickland has made a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. Is there a second? A motion to suspend the rules to permit the amendment to the platform has been moved and seconded. This is a non-debatable motion requiring a two-thirds vote.
And this is the motion they're throwing up. The motion is they want to bring Jerusalem back on their platform, saying, we want to say, because we pulled it out, is the capital of Israel. Listen to what happens.
All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
And they're just this is a motion to take the vote. So they say, okay, let's take the vote. Let's put it out there. We want to say, is Jerusalem the capital of Israel?
In the opinion of the chair, there's been a two-thirds affirmative vote to suspend the rules. Governor, would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters.
Looks like we lost our particular video right there. They're pulling up as we speak. But the they're talking a platform right there. They're mm-hmm. talking a platform about removing
Jerusalem as the capital.
Yeah, as the capital.
And you have Ted Strickland, this governor, who once was governor, trying to bring it back into the platform. Mm-hmm. And they're getting ready to take a vote. You understand that this is on the backdrop of Russian warships that were recently displayed at the same, convention. And now they're actually putting a motion in to correct this and to see what they're going to do. And you're going to be able to watch this, and we're going to make sure this is related for you on the torch today. But you're going to be able to see them and this whole process as the mayor of L.A. goes into several times trying to get the vote to pass to bring Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And you're going to see the reaction of the people that were in. These American citizens now. American citizens that are in this Coliseum, if you will, indoor stadium. And their reaction as, they're given the vote. And we're getting this video up for you. You got to see this. But this is going to help you to appreciate how far we've come. When you just heard Lauder, the president of the World Jewish Congress, express his appreciation and his thanks and his willingness to stand with Christians. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, together, Jews and Christians standing for Israel. And listen, this we can see the fulfillment of many prophecies coming to pass and many Jews that are coming to the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. But we just didn't get here.
Right.
And it's been a journey.
Listen
up. Been moved and seconded. This is a non-debatable motion requiring a two-thirds vote. All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. In the opinion of the chair, there's been a two-thirds affirmative vote to suspend the rules.
It just looks like that's not going to happen.
Wow.
That is not going to happen in the context of that. You can pull that down. The what they did, what they vote on, and we'll probably make it available in the next program in its entirety, is the fact they to put Jerusalem back in as the capital mm-hmm. in their platform. I mean, think about that. And so they took what God said about, Jesus, God standing in Jerusalem, talking to him. And so we're going to talk also about an increase of loyalty towards Israel.
Right.
They call it Zionism, but in our next program coming up, because we didn't have a lot of time to do it now. But it's just, unless we have time to cover that.
We can talk a little bit about it, and I'm sure we'll bring it back up. But, if it wasn't embarrassing enough that they voted to take Jerusalem and God out, what happened as a result is just as horrific. It gets to appreciate this. But we're going to talk about how Christian Zionism grows despite critics and despite even a history of even replacement theology that the church years ago was trying to replace their Israel's place with the church's place. It is growing, Zionism support for Israel, and we're excited to share about what's happening.
Yes. We are going to get this segment available to you today. In our previous program, we had some technical difficulties with trying to get it up. We're going to get it up so you can hear it because it's so significant. Because the president of World Jewish Congress, President Lauder, stood up in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles and proclaimed that they will stand with Christians as Christians have stand with them. They will not be silent. And in the undivided city of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, so powerful. And what we were just talking about was how Mayor Antonio, the I don't know if he's former mayor or not, but the mayor at that time, was bringing up a motion to be able to put Jerusalem as the capital of Israel back in the platform because they pulled it out. They pulled it out, and they just voted, as you heard earlier, to be able to do that. And we'll be talking about that in a moment. But understand, we went from this with Russian ships sitting outside and American ships sitting in the Mediterranean and the Russian fleet behind them when they were making these
jump on the jumbotron.
Yeah, more flexibility. I'll transmit that to Vladimir. And and all that was happening at the same time. But now we're looking at a rise of loyalty to the Jews.
Yeah.
And the church is coming out and saying, listen, we're going to stand with you. We're not going to be silent. And one of the forerunners of that is he says, this is what he says very specifically, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. But he also says this. He says that when Jesus was standing in Jerusalem after ministering to the Jews, and he is a Jew, by the way, he said, listen, Jerusalem, listen to me. Something like that, right? Matthew 23:37-39. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned the ones sent to you, how often I long to gather you together as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. Now your house has left you desolate. And realize 60 years ago, 65 years ago, Israel was not like it is today. God has gathered. He says, listen, this is what he says. He says, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's his name. And the Christians come in the name Christ Jones, by the way. That means Christ follower. Mm-hmm. So we're going in the name of Jesus. When you stand up for Israel in the name of Jesus, you're doing it in his name. And so what we're seeing, what we've heard so far, and what we just heard, the President Lauder stand up of the World Jewish Congress and say, you know, blessed are the Christians.
Yeah.
We're going to stand for the Christians. We're not going to let them be persecuted. And we have the same, we believe in the same God, the same book, same Ten Commandments. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is a sign of soon coming salvation and protection for Israel, for the Jews. And this is an exciting day to watch what's taking place. I encourage you, if you have not yet you stood for Israel in your prayer and your finances and, you know, physically, do it. You can do it by partnering with KUFA. Go to VFNTV.com, and we have a link on the front page to be able to connect to them, but also connecting directly with Israel as well. But understand just what he's talking about, Jerusalem, an undivided city and the capital of Israel, and everybody's cheering that on, as we heard in the earlier program with President Lauder. A few months ago in America, they took that out of the platform of our president's platform for his leadership. And they're bringing it back. They're bringing it back. Now they just made a motion, and we're hearing that as Mayor Antonio, former mayor of L.A., made a motion. They voted to be able to bring it in. And now thank God for this Ohio a minister here who's saying, listen, I want to make a motion to put Jerusalem back in again. Mm-hmm. But listen, I want you to hear this, because they're going to do it no matter what. They're going to push past the desires of their own folks. And they're going to force it to happen. But you'll hear them boo this reality of what Lauder just talked about. Listen to the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the Platform Drafting Committee Chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion?
And this is the motion. You have to understand. It's Amendment 1, page 32, line 48. John, can you read that?
We need a government that stands up for the hopes, values, and interests of working people and gives everyone willing to work hard the chance to make the most of their God-given potential.
Because that was removed from the platform, and they put that back in, God-given potential. Now, what's the second amendment they're voting on here? Page 33, line 26.
Page 63.
Page 63.
Jerusalem is and will remain the capital of Israel. The parties have agreed that Jerusalem is a matter for final status, I believe. Final status negotiations.
In other words, it has to be in the negotiations that they are the capital of Israel.
It should remain an undivided city accessible to people of all faiths.
Right, right.
Which is extremely important because they're trying to divide the city of Jerusalem.
Right. You might be able to even see it eventually. There you go. And that's the actual amendment that they flashed up before everybody. So everybody's seeing the amendment. And now they're going to vote on it. Mm. They're bringing it up for a vote. And this is what President Lauder just talking about. You got to see this. Listen up.
Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
All those no's were just saying, no, we don't want to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Mm-hmm. They wanted to remove that from the God-given.
Yeah, God and Jerusalem.
God and Jerusalem, both those things. But, as a matter of fact, leave it on. If we could leave that on. There you go. Listen up.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again.
He's taking it again because in the context of that, they just said no. Mm-hmm. They just said no. I need to clarify it. Did you just vote Jerusalem out and God out of the platform? Listen up.
All of those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
He's just baffled. He doesn't know what to do because they just realized you just said no to God and you said no to the Jerusalem's the capital. What do you do with that? And these are Americans. These are our fellow citizens saying this and doing this. And this mayor's like kind of stunned. Now you're going to see a lady come alongside of her. Those that are watching, he's going to prophesy. He's going to prophesy about you got to give them what they want. Listen to what she says quietly in the background to his right ear.
I guess.
You've got a rule, and then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
You got a rule, and you got to let them do what they're going to do. This is America. This is America saying these things.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted, and the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service.
They are just booed. They booed God.
Wow.
They booed God, and they booed having Jerusalem as a capital. But we just heard now at the Feast of Tabernacles how powerful this is, that the Christians and the Jews are realizing we got each other.
We got each other's back.
Yeah.
And I'm for you. You're for me. We're both for God. And we can do this thing together. And that's a huge sign of the Lord's return, soon return coming back. And that's why it's so powerful. So you're looking at this big thrust of darkness when you see Americans saying, hey, we don't want God in our platform. We don't want Jerusalem, you know, God's city, to be the capital of Israel. We want it divided. And what President Lauder just said. He said the undivided city. He's saying this is just it. This is how it is. And this is a very exciting moment in time because when the Jews start saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, you're going to see Jesus again. And our Lord is coming back. He's coming back for his people. And he's going to save Israel. And those are exciting days. And speaking of that, now you're starting to see a rise in loyalty and passion for Israel, which
that's
they call
right.
Zionism, but that probably doesn't make a lot of sense to people hearing that word, but it's a rise of like, hey, I'm for Israel.
Mm-hmm. And for the state, the Jewish state, the Israel, you know, they deserve their homeland. Mm-hmm. And one of the people that have been on the forefront of leading, helping American Christians really have a voice in supporting Israel and Zionism, right, is John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee out of Texas. And he started an organization some time back called CUFI, Christians United for Israel. And Charisma Magazine's reporting that right now they presently have 1.6 million members. It is one of the largest pro-Israel, not one, I'm sorry, the largest pro-Israel support groups, basically, in America. John Hagee alone is reported that he's been able to raise over $80 million to Israeli charities. And it's just huge what's been happening and how this is being encouraged and how so many people, and Christians in particular, are supporting and getting behind Israel and the Jewish people. But this article continues to go back that this actually started back in the 19th century with some of the world leaders, with Winston Churchill and Harry Truman. If you remember, we talked about it before, President Harry Truman was the one that really recognized, I believe it was less than 10 minutes after the president, the first president of Israel, declared them Jewish state. Harry Truman, about 11 minutes later, sent out a report, a telegram, I believe, and said, yes, we recognize Israel as a state. And it was absolutely powerful. And so we want to encourage you, listen, support Israel, support the Jewish people, and support organizations like Christians United for Israel. I mean, they have a staff. It's reported on their website of less than about 25 people, and they have about 40 pro-Israel events a month. It's the largest pro-Israel organization in the U.S., and they're consistently giving you updates, consistently letting you know what's happening in Israel. And their main, one of their main objectives is to help Christians get mobilized and to speak to our elected representatives in Congress about making laws and passing laws, basically, that are in favor of Israel. They're not going to, you know, like, for instance, what's going on in right now with these sanctions is horrible.
Yes.
And CUFI is getting behind it saying, listen, talk to your congressman. Let them know we do not ease these sanctions off of Iran, because Israel is going to be a sitting duck, and they're going to, you know, get these bombs that Iran is
nuclear. You know. Nuclear. Well, when we get back from this break, we're going to give you a detailed description of what it means to ease these sanctions in regards to that, so you can have some evidence to talk about when you're talking to your congressman and your senator about that. We are excited to hear what's taking place in Jerusalem with the president of World Christian Congress. President Lauder has just said, you know, in prophesying about our relationship between the Christian and the Jews. And we're going to get some insight, because the rise of Zionism and the loyalty towards the nation of Israel and the Jews is important, because at the same time, you're seeing things cranked up a notch against JJ, against the Jews and Jesus, just against the Jews and Christians. And we just had that with Mayor Antonio, former mayor of L.A., I believe, when they begin to boo God and Jerusalem being the capital there. Mm-hmm. But now it's gone this far. It's gone this far. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. But listen up. They're talking about easing the sanctions on Israel's neighbor right here, which the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, is saying this is the worst thing that could ever have happened.
Historic mistake.
Historic mistake. Forced him to go to the king of the north, forced him to go to the president of Russia and to ask for help. The former prime minister of Israel is discouraging him to stand. And he goes, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to be silent. And it looks like it's a rise of folks, the true folks that are going to stand in these days. You know, the true folks that stand for God and that stand for Jesus in these days are going to stand up for God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And awesome. So listen, this is talking about, what does it mean these sanctions being eased? Because they break it down in just 2 minutes. They break it down so you can talk to your congressman or your senator and call your senator and just say, listen, and let them know how you feel about this, because this is the reason why the prime minister of Israel is saying, listen, we cannot believe these guys. The current president of Iran is the one that's known for his pulling the wool over the eyes of President George Bush about the whole thing. I mean, that's what he's known. He's known for that. But listen up. This is the facts about the sanctions being lifted off Iran and how significant this is to Israel and the world.
In 1979, the pro-Western government of Iran was deposed by religious fanatics led by the Ayatollah Khomeini. Under Khomeini's government, anti-American demonstrations became the norm. 55 Americans were captured from the U.S. embassy and held hostage for more than a year. Khomeini defended the kidnapping, saying the USA is the foremost enemy of Islam. It is a terrorist state by nature that has set fire to everything, everywhere. He also preached that Islam says, kill the non-Muslims and put them to the sword. The current supreme leader, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, also hostile, announced the Iranian people's hatred for America is profound. Other Iranian leaders have indicated their hatred for the West and their thirst for violence. The current leader of Hezbollah, a group armed by Iran, has repeated the Iranian mantra toward the U.S., saying, our hostility to the great Satan America is absolute. Death to America will remain a reverberating and powerful slogan. Ali Larijani, current speaker of the Iranian parliament, has also voiced a hatred of the United States, saying that the time has come for the disappearance of the West from the face of the universe. With the recent election of Hassan Rouhani as president of Iran and his subsequent charm offensive, the Obama administration has expressed hope in a new partnership with Iran. But is Rouhani really a moderate looking to make peace? In 1995, Rouhani said, the beautiful cry of death to America unites our nation. And when he was on the campaign trail this year, he claimed that saying death to America is easy. We need to express death to America with action. Now is not the time to loosen sanctions. If we fail to defend ourselves now, by 2014, it may be too late. Call your senators today and tell them to keep tough economic sanctions in place until the threat from Iran is totally dismantled.
This is amazing. You can see this if you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, VFN Torch. And this will arm you with facts so you can talk. And most of the Congress, most of the Senate have historically stood for Israel. And it's just very strange days. But if this is how Iran feels, and understand the Ayatollah and the religious leader there is the one reportedly that's over the whole nation, and they choose who the candidate is going to be for president, and then they let people vote on the ones that they choose. Well, in the context of that, they hate Israel. I mean, they hate Israel and they hate America. They said that quote, that the USA is the foremost enemy of Islam.
Wow.
And we're embracing Islam when that's how they see us in the context of that. This particular reported apocalyptic government, as they put it. And the Hezbollah is right in there with the same, being funded by Iran. These are the ones in Syria. And it's like, wow. This makes no sense. And that's what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying. This is a horrific, historic mistake. Less this. Unless you're an enemy of God and you're an enemy of the original intent of America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people can have a different vision for America. But if you hate who America was and who America, it's our founding documents, our founding principles, and all of our rights coming from God, then you can say, at the same time, people can say, hey, I'm for America. But at the same time, they could be against the way America, where we came from, our roots. And what they could be saying is, I'm for a different America. I see things differently. I don't know, fundamentally transformed. We need a transformational, as the selection committee said in 2007 or whatever. They said, you know, in the JFK library, we need a transformational time.
Right.
And I truly believe this is these folks that are doing all this stuff in the world right now, and these different leaders in different places are just pawns, if you would, in the context of that. And he's and understand this, that the four blood moons began in 2014, and they're saying that it's going to be tragic in 2014. Well, everything's coming to a head. I mean, I've never seen so many things coming to a head in 2014. And the moons, the four blood moons that we will be talking about by God's grace before they begin, is it begins in tears. Mm. It begins in tears, and only tears for the Jews and the Christians. Uh-huh. And if we survive that, and a lot of people didn't survive the last four moons, but those that did survive, it ends up good. I mean, it ended up with Israel in Jerusalem. But it began with Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And, but this, the Iran is, they say that, you know, their roots are, America is the foremost enemy of Islam. And now we have leaders that are saying, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, reported by her, that they're removing any negative content about Islam in any of our FBI libraries, our CIA libraries, you know, the criminal aspect right. of it. And we're no longer identifying our enemy. When they're saying, listen, we are your enemy. I mean, they're saying, we are your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We want to destroy you. We think you guys are our foremost enemy. And now we're going over there and easing the sanctions. And look, this is what the sanctions, it enables that. And so that's why Benjamin Netanyahu says that this is historic. This is a historic mistake. And now they're opening up even reportedly more. More centrifuges and more, because now they have this open permission. They're just like letting crank.
I forget what year it was, but they started out with about 168 of them, and now there are over 19,000 of them.
During the time of the sanctions, this has happened. So we're easing it up. So if that happened with the sanctions on,
can you imagine?
Imagine what's going to happen when they're all driving a Ford, you know, when the Ayatollah shows up.
And what sanctions really mean, right, if we understand this right, is they're not getting any money. They're not getting any U.S. or international type money that's been supporting them. But now my understanding is about at least immediately $7 billion is going to be released.
Right.
And hundreds
right. People just start doing business with them.
Hundreds of billions are to follow.
And what I believe they were looking for, and what's reported that they're looking for, is legitimacy. They weren't looking. They got oil coming out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They have finances in the context of what they want to do. They have no problem squeezing off their own society and fulfilling the regime's desires, because they did all that during the sanction times when the people needed finance. But the context of it, they needed legitimacy. And what just happened with our current leadership in America, we just gave them legitimacy in their own minds. We just gave them legitimacy. An enemy of Israel, an enemy of America, never even going as far reportedly as going to talk with them and meet with them, embracing them, who are saying they want to do away with us. What the good thing about this is, it's forcing or bringing to pass an end time prophecy of saying that, where you have the president of the World Jewish Congress, President Lauder, standing up and says, blessed is he, basically, that comes in the name of the Lord. We're going to stand with the church. Mm. The Christians have stand with us. We're going to stand with the Christians. We're not going to let this go on. We're not going to be silent anymore. But know this, that, my goodness, Israel, the president of the Jewish World Congress, is standing up. President Lauder, and saying, we're going to stand with the Christians. The Christians stand with it. Blessed are the name. It's basically, he's prophesying in Jerusalem, the very place that Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And you're looking at like end time fulfillment. So I just want to encourage you that these hard times coming, and that we're seeing, and that has arrived for many in the world, but it's arriving for America as well, this is not going to go undealt with. I mean, it's just not going to go undealt with. I know that Billy Graham said at one time that it's reported that he said that if God doesn't deal with America, he ought to apologize to those he has dealt with in the past.
Mm-hmm. Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah, and that, but this is way beyond it. That's Sodom and Gomorrah is nothing compared to what we've done now to Israel, what we've done to the world, what we've done to Jesus, what we've done to, it's like, my goodness. And at the nation being turned over to itself, but understand the purpose of that is to to bring salvation. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.